Merry Christmas, Crossroads. I want to tell you I'm so excited about the Christmas show, and it really will create a sense of wonder for everyone who comes. So bring your family and friends. And I want to share something else. We have a surprise this year, something I'm so excited about that's different than what we've ever done before. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I want to tell you it's going to be amazing. So bring family, bring friends, and get ready for an amazing, amazing Crossroads Christian Church Christmas show. But I also am super excited about next weekend. On next weekend, I'm sharing a message that actually changed my life. It's the one maybe that impacted my life maybe more than any other, at least in a long time. And then I've had people actually talking to me saying, hey, is there any way you could share that again? Because it's so timely and it's so needed. So not only is next week's message gonna be important, next week we're gonna do a special Christmas giveaway. I would love to give you a Christmas present. So if you come, we have a wrapped present I would love to give to you. And I also know that will impact you not only now, but into the next year and beyond. So come get your gift next weekend. We're in a series right now on wonder, the wonder of Christmas. And remember, the definition of wonder is a feeling of surprise mingled with admiration caused by something beautiful, unexpected, unfamiliar, or inexplicable. There's something beautiful, unexpected, and unfamiliar, and inexplicable about sharing the gospel with other people, which is the greatest gift you could ever share. And we're gonna be talking about that today in a way I love to get to do that. I have three of our teaching pastors all set to go. And when they come up, what they're gonna do is they're gonna be sharing for 7 minutes each. Now, I want you to know there'll be a countdown clock on the screen. I want you to watch it. They're gonna go right to zero with what they share. So I want you to pray for them, cheer for them, and root them on as they come and bring a great message. And so here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna have Pastor Stephen, who leads our junior high ministry, talk about the fact that Jesus changed lives. Jesus changed lives. And he did that, and we can see that as an evidence for the Bible's true, that Jesus is true, and the gospel's true. And then you're also gonna get to hear from Pastor Patty, who works in our children's area, and Patty's gonna talk about Jesus is still changing lives. And so I want you to think about that. Jesus is still changing lives. And then bringing it home is Pastor Noah, who leads our college ministry on Thursday nights, our CM ministry, and also our Spanish ministry. And Pastor Noah is gonna talk about the fact of how we would share a message like this, because since Jesus changed lives, changes lives, isn't it true? How could we not share? How could we not share? And so Noah's gonna help you understand an incredible way for us to meet people where they are and share the message of Jesus in a way that will change their lives. There's nothing that would create wonder more than that, more than the wonder of someone coming to know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I want you, Crossroads, right now to join me in welcoming Pastor Stephen as he comes and shares.
How you guys doing tonight? You guys are good. Hey, right now, I just want to give a quick shout out to Terry, who's in Nevada watching with us on live stream. So cool. I'm also really excited. I feel like a proud dad today, even though I don't have kids of my own. But our junior high ministry is in here today with us. And I'm really excited. They get to hear what we're going to talk about. And I told them to keep an eye on the clock. And if I don't do a good job, they could yell at me when we get back. But why don't we start the clock? In all of my 21 years of life, I never had a girlfriend. Let that sink in for a second. I never had a girlfriend. I know majority of you guys are like, wow, how could that guy not have a girlfriend? Totally kidding, by the way. I mean, I wear tight jeans, tighter jeans than my mom. I wear denim jackets. I shop at H&M. I shop at all these stores that you would think are cool that would get me a girlfriend, and I never had a girlfriend. And I remember as a little kid that I would cry myself to sleep because I was so nervous that I would never find a girl. And my parents would make fun of me, my siblings would make fun of me, my friends would make fun of me, so I could not wait for the day that I could prove them all wrong and tell them, hey, I could get myself a girlfriend. You know, holidays would come around, Christmas would come around, I'd be like, oh my gosh, why do I have to open gifts by myself? I wish I had somebody who loved me next to me. And then Valentine's Day, don't even get me started. It's just a day that reminded me of how single I actually was, and it was actually really sad. And I couldn't wait for the day that I could find, that I could wait and meet the girl of my dreams. And then I finally did. It took a while, but I finally met this girl. I built up the courage to ask her out, because you know it takes a long time to do that. And all of a sudden, I manned up, I ask her out, she says yes, and then I finally got myself a girlfriend. Yeah! I know, I was really excited about that. But the first thing I needed to do was, I needed to prove everybody wrong, so I needed to go straight to Facebook and change my relationship status. So that's exactly what I did on June 5th, 2016. I was able to change my Facebook status from single to in a relationship with Jessica Soto. Yeah. See, that was a monumental moment in my life. And I know all of us in here, we've all had monumental moments in our lives, whether it was the birth of your child. You could not wait that your child was finally born. You waited all these months. And then when your baby was born, you went straight to Instagram, or if you're older, you went straight to Facebook, right? And you posted about it because you wanted the world to know that you just had a baby. Or perhaps you graduated college, or you got into a relationship, and you had to tell the world about this amazing news. Or perhaps, better yet, because we're in church, you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you had to tell the world that you accepted Jesus. Isn't it so cool? Such exciting news. And today we're going to talk about a monumental moment in history, in human history, that took place over 2,000 years ago. There was a day that people were waiting for. They were eager for this Savior of the world to come. The day that a Messiah would come and remove their sins once and for all. There are multiple prophecies that talk about this day in Scripture. However, we're just going to look at one for today, being that Pastor Chuck only gave us 7 minutes. But 400 years prior, there was a prophet by the name of Isaiah who predicted the Lord's coming. This is where we're going to be. In Isaiah 7:14, it says this, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel, God with us." Right off the bat, we see a life being changed. We see a virgin giving birth. Let that sink in for a second. That doesn't happen every day. That happened once and it will never happen again. I can assure you about that. And it happened just as Isaiah said it would. Friends, the Christmas story is all about this monumental day. This message was so revolutionary, so transforming, so life-altering. Jesus gave God a face. Don't want you to miss that. Jesus gave God a face. Matthew describes it like this, "But when he had considered this, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" Can you imagine the hope that Isaiah's words gave to God's people? They expected this king who was going to have all this influential power, all this power, and all of a sudden they get a baby in a manger, right? You expect all this amazingness to happen, and then all of a sudden there's a baby in a manger, which leads me to my first point. The life and message of Jesus changed the world in a way that was unpredictable. It changed the way that people viewed God. We now know God's love because of Jesus. During this time, people viewed gods as these distant beings that were just up there. But now we have a one true God who comes in human form, who people can touch, people can interact with him. I mean, someone had to change his diaper. Imagine changing his diaper. It changed Mary's life. She's a pregnant teen who's about 14 years old. She's a virgin, and she's about to have a son, and she's not even married. God literally changed everyone's expectations. And you might be asking, why? Why would he do such a thing? And I have an answer for you guys. It is in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God sent Jesus because he was motivated by love. That is the message of Jesus. God loved us enough to be like us. God loved us enough to be like us. And in doing so, he changed the way we understand him. So now we can have a personal relationship with him. We no longer have to be related by the keeping of the law or sacrificial systems. We can have a personal relationship with him through his son. Just like my monumental moment when I got to change my relationship status to single to in a relationship, you guys have a chance later on today to change your relationship status with God. And you could change it from distant, not knowing where you are, to being a child of the one true God. Maybe you've misunderstood this Christmas story and you think that there is a God that doesn't like you, a God that just doesn't care about you. Can I tell you that is not true? Because God loves you so much. He was willing to come down and be like us. So as you open up your gifts this week, as in this coming season, I want you to remember this. That is the wonder of Christmas, is that Jesus changed lives. I love Pastor Stephen. Isn't he amazing? What an honor it is to have him pastoring our junior high students. My prayer is that his next monumental moment would be that he changes her last name to McKinley and not Soto. Amen? Awesome. Well, hit the clock, guys. Several years ago, my wife Viv wanted a specific gift for Christmas. As any good husband would do, I did everything I could to buy it for her. I had to be super discreet though, because she could keep track of every single penny that's in our bank account. So I did what I could. I saved all my extra money. I put it aside until finally I had enough money to buy her a brand new Canon camera. No, this isn't a Nikon. It was a Canon camera. And I was over the moon excited and could not wait to give it to her. And finally, on Christmas morning, I bring her the gift. She has no idea what it is. She opens up the box and all she sees is this white box. Then she peeks her head around and she sees that it's her camera. And she buckles forward and it created this incredible emotion inside of her that she began to cry. And before you know it, we were both bawling our eyes out. Maybe some of you guys have received a gift like this that you thought to yourself, wow, this is just so much. This is over the top, that it created this incredible emotion inside of you. Tonight, what I'd like to do is talk about how you and I could give the greatest gift. Because what I want us to do is I want us to go back 2,000 years ago. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus shows up and he gives us this extravagant gift. Something so profound, something so big. And it's a gift that at times as Christians, we begin to lose sight of. It was so extravagant that if you're in here tonight and you're not a Christ follower, I want you to lean in, because this gift was not wrapped in paper. It was wrapped in skin. And this is exactly why John would write these words. He says this in John chapter 1, verse 14. He says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and full of truth." This is why he was called Emmanuel, God with us, because God put on human skin. And now in Jesus, God gave us a face and he showed the world what God was really like. And Christmas is about a person. It's about Jesus. It's about the gospel. The story isn't about a to-do list of how we could reach God. No, the Christmas story has everything to do with God reaching us. This is why it's such amazing news that Jesus would send his son to save us. And if we know that this is true, wouldn't you agree, church, that our churches should be overflowing with people, because it's a gift that continues to change lives? And if this gift is so extravagant, then why would we keep it to ourselves? Could it be that a lot of us might think that someone else might share this message? Or maybe we think that we have a little bit more time. Or some of us in here, we just don't feel equipped. Or maybe we just don't believe that people are going to hell. You see, bringing people to Christ should always be on the forefront of our minds. So today, what I'd like to do with the rest of our time together, I want to give us two practical ways on how we can give the greatest gift. And the first way is this, is by, number one, is invite. Many of us know this way. We invite people to church, and Pastor Chuck or whoever's preaching, we invite friends and family and neighbors, and they get to hear a gospel message, and they respond, and they've given their life to Jesus. That's amazing. That's important. Keep on doing that. As a matter of fact, we have several opportunities in this Christmas season for you to invite loved ones to our Christmas shows, and you could go in the lobby or after service and grab invite cards. You could do
it that way, or bring them to our weekend services. It's important. But another way that I want to talk about today is this idea of sharing. And I know for a lot of us, when I talk about sharing, it's intimidating, but it is our God-given responsibility. So how do we do it? We need to start with, number one, we need to pray. We need to understand that God is the only one that could draw people to himself. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to begin to work in people's lives. David wrote this in Psalm chapter 5, verse 3. He says, "In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer," and here's the key, "to you, and I will eagerly watch." God put in David's heart to pray with expectation, and David expected God to answer. So he prayed and eagerly watched. Some of us, we need to start praying for our neighbors, because with a room this size, I know this to be true. A lot of us don't even know their names. So we need to ask God to open up opportunities for us to start relationally investing with in our neighbors, our coworkers, whoever's in our proximity. And that's the key. We need to be relational and loving. Why? We need to remember that people aren't projects. Conversations happen with friends and not projects. And as we're waiting, as we're building relationships, we need to listen and care. What you're going to find is oftentimes these friends of yours, they're going to start opening up, and they're going to start sharing needs. This is where I always start. I start with a personal need. They'll share that a loved one died, or they're dealing with anxiety, they're dealing with depression, they're dealing with some type of heartache. But here's the thing, church, this is where a lot of us stop. And we use these words, "I'll pray for you." I think that's important. I think we do need to pray for people, but that shouldn't be our last step. This should be an opportunity for us to introduce people to Jesus. And instead of saying, "I'll pray for you," what if we proposed a question? "Could I share something with you?" You know, and I'm gonna show you a graph up here. I wanna make it super practical, super easy. It's in your notes. Maybe you could say, "I haven't dealt with the same situation you're dealing with, or in a similar way I dealt with stuff, but one thing that I learned, that God had a plan, and every single time that I chose to live outside of it, it led to brokenness." The Bible calls that sin. And I found myself trying to do things on my own, and things weren't working, but someone introduced me to Jesus. And in Jesus, I found that I had hope. I found that it was the greatest gift that I could ever receive, and it returned me to God's plan for my life, and in him I found hope. It seems to me that you find yourself in an area of brokenness. What would keep you from receiving Jesus and going back to God's original plan? Because in him I found hope. I want to give you an opportunity to respond, because this Jesus changed my life. He changed life in history. He changes life today. And he continues to do so. This is the greatest gift that you and I could share. This is why you and I cannot keep it to ourselves. Why? Because Jesus is the greatest gift. And Jesus is enough. Amen.
That's a good one. Well, my name is Patty, and I am the elementary pastor, so while I'm up here, I'm going to do a shameless plug. If you are a parent and you have your kids with you and they've never experienced kids ministry, I want to encourage you to take them there next weekend, because our kids ministry here at Crossroads really rocks. So, Tyler, I think I'm ready. You can put up the 7 minutes. I love the Christmas season. Pretty much as soon as Halloween is over, I start playing Christmas music in my car and in my home. And I have a confession to make. I am a huge Hallmark Christmas movie fan. Now, thank you. I mean, I know they're sappy, but come on, who doesn't love the story of the jaded young travel agent who finds love and restores her faith in Christmas all at the same time? Now, judging by your clapping, I know I'm not the only one. So, in a show of solidarity, I'd like all my Hallmark Christmas movie fans to please raise their hand. There is no shame here today. Thank you, friends. But seriously, I really do love the Christmas season. I love the decorations, and I love the lights, I love the food, and I love the Christmas story. The angels singing in the heavens, the shepherds in the fields at night, the wise men following the star to Jesus. I even enjoy some of the Christmas carols. So just for fun, finish this carol for me. "Joy to the world. Oh, okay, you can do a little bit better than that. I mean, my mom joined me. Thank you, Mom. Let's do it all. Another one. "Silent night." Oh, that was definitely better. But "silent night," I mean, was it really? I'm pretty sure a baby was being born, and as far as I remember, that is anything but silent. But there is a carol that I am sure if you are familiar with. It's called "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day" by Henry Longfellow. And it goes like this. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar songs they play, of peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill towards men. You see, Longfellow really captured the truth of our day in this song. Hate and hurt is strong, and people desperately need to know the life-changing power and peace that the baby born 2,000 years ago can bring. You see, Jesus changed lives then, but he is still changing lives today. And Jesus changed my life. You see, growing up, I thought I knew who Jesus was. I'd seen the picture of him on the cross, and I had a genuine love for God. But the manger scene and the cross were all I knew. And sometimes it felt like I could get stuck in that manger scene and become kind of like Ricky Bobby from that old movie Talladega Nights, where he likes to only pray to the dear 8-pound, 6-ounce infant baby Jesus in the manger, so cute and so cuddly, wearing a fleece diaper made of gold and yet omnipotent. But as I graduated high school, I learned who Jesus really was, and I decided that I wanted to follow him with all of my heart, and I wanted his will for my life, not just mine. And so I gave my heart to Jesus, and I began a personal relationship with God. Now, in doing that, my life was anything but perfect, but I now had something different that I did not have before. I had peace. You see, my life had been changed not just by the baby in the manger, but by the person of Jesus, the one that came and hung out with people that others despised, the one that healed the sick and the lame and the blind and the deaf, the one that lived a sinless life full of love for others, died a criminal's death on the cross, and then rose again 3 days later. That was the Jesus that I now knew, and that was the Jesus that gave me peace. And this peace was life-giving, especially when my husband and Ferdy and I had our kids. So with my first daughter, Mahala, I was a full-time working mom, and I struggled with anxiety. I worried about a lot of things. I worried about her health. I worried whether I was a good mom because I worked full-time. There were times I even feared that I might be suffering from depression. Then my youngest daughter, Taya, was diagnosed with tumors or lesions in her lungs at the 17-week ultrasound. Now, the doctors told us not to Google this type of lesion because there was so much information out there on the internet. But we learned that the tumors could fill up her lungs, they could move the heart over, they could stop her from breathing at birth, or they literally could do nothing. They even could spontaneously heal themselves. I mean, what a wide range, right? But this diagnosis, it led to ultrasounds every 2 weeks. Now, we didn't want to find out gender with either child, so imagine trying not to find out gender when you're going to an ultrasound every 2 weeks. It was really hard not to do. But it led to neonatal being present at the birth, and then Taya being taken immediately away for x-rays. And then at 6 weeks of age, my little one had to endure an MRI. And man, she showed her strength and her feistiness even then. But all I can say is that I literally felt this peace that felt like it came from heaven and settled in my heart. You see, in the book of John, chapter 14, we see words that are recorded that Jesus said to his followers. He says, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Jesus longs to bring us peace, and he longs to calm our troubled spirits. But he does not promise a life without strife. In fact, he tells us to come to him. So in the book of Matthew, we see other words that Jesus spoke. He said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Life is hard, but Jesus is that peace that we have been searching for. He can fill any empty hole. He can mend anything that is broken. That is the peace that Jesus brings. That is the message that we share at Christmas. The manger scene is so much more than just a manger scene. Jesus was changing lives then, and he is still changing lives today. He is our peace. And so my question to you tonight is, do you have his peace? Have you ever experienced his peace? If not, what is stopping you from that? Later in the song, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, Longfellow writes, "Then peals the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. For Christ is here, his spirit is near, brings peace on earth, goodwill towards men." My prayer for you this Christmas season is the peace of Jesus upon you. Amen.
Wow, so awesome. I am so honored that I get to serve alongside you guys. Wow, Patty tonight just talked about, and Pastor Steve talked about the idea of this message, this monumental moment in human history that changes lives. And I don't know if you caught on to the theme, church. Jesus desires to give us life and give it to us abundantly. He desires us to experience his peace. And the only way we're able to do that is through a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe tonight you might have found yourself in the story that we shared tonight in an area of brokenness or an area where you're lacking peace simply because you might not be experiencing Jesus in a relational way. Maybe for some of you, you've done the church thing for a long time, but you've never set foot into a relationship with Jesus. Or if you're brand new to this whole church thing, maybe the whole idea of even having a relationship with Christ is brand new to you. Let me tell you something tonight. Jesus loves you, that he came down in human flesh simply so that you and I could experience God in a real way. And the way that one is able to experience him relationally is by inviting him into our lives, by choosing to follow him. And the way we do that is through prayer. We open up our hearts and say, "Jesus, I want the life that you have for me. I want the peace that Pastor Patty was talking about tonight. I want to be able to experience that in a real way." So in a moment, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give us an opportunity to really reflect on where we find ourselves in this Christmas story. Are you experiencing the wonder of Jesus? If not, you could start tonight. If maybe you've fallen away or you're not close to him, you could come back to him tonight. Jesus says, "I'm waiting with open arms. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Maybe you're in here tonight and you've never experienced Jesus through baptism, where you chose to respond to him in a real way because your faith is already real, but you just wanted to proclaim that to everyone. Tonight's for you as well. What I'd like to do is I'd like to pray over you, and then I want to give you an opportunity to respond. After we pray, we're going to sing a song of worship, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to come to the front, greet one of us in the front, and then make your way over to the living room. Our leaders, they want to give you a Bible. They want to give you some materials so that you can continue to grow in your walk with Christ. But something happens when you make this decision known. You're going to feel the Lord just meet you right where you're at. So right now, let's go to God in prayer. Lord, I praise you and thank you that your message still changes lives. Father, I thank you that we have the greatest gift in your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that tonight, those that came for the first time, Lord, that you would just allow them to experience you in a real way. I pray for those that have ever lacked their value or their worth, or they've misplaced their value in all of the wrong things, Father, that tonight they would know they have ultimate worth and ultimate value. I pray for the person in here tonight, God, that even questioned their value and contemplated whether or not they should even exist. God, I pray that tonight, Lord, you would let them know that you're well aware of everything that's going on in their lives and that you would bring them your peace and that you would overwhelm them with your love. God, I pray for those that came for the first time, Lord, that you would do a work in them that only you can do. Father, for the Christians in here, that for some reason, Lord, they lost sight of the wonder of Christmas and began to focus on all of the wrong things, or maybe they're not close to you tonight. God, I pray that it's your kindness and your tenderness that would lead them back to you, but that you would touch them in a real way. Right now, with everyone's eyes closed, will you do me a favor? If you know Jesus, pray for those around you. But tonight, if you've never given your life to Christ, or if you want to come back to him, or if you want to get baptized, and what I'd like to do is I'd like to lead you through a prayer. So please repeat these words after me. Just say, "Father God, I know that you love me, and I believe that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for me. And today I say yes to you. I ask that you'd fill me with your love and that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. I give you my life, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen." Let's praise God for all the decisions. So right now, what I'd like us to do, I'd like us to stand up. I'd like us to worship God. And if you prayed that prayer, or if you wish you would have prayed that prayer, if you want to grab the person next to you, grab the person next to you. If you want to bring your kids, bring your kids. If you want to bring your friends, bring your friends. But don't leave here tonight without making that decision known. So right now, if that's you, go ahead and make your way forward and praise God for those that come. Crossroads, because of your faithfulness, we were able to bless 5 families this last week. We were able to provide a Christmas for those that wouldn't have one if it wasn't for your generosity. We provided a tree. We provided different items so that they could experience Christmas in a real way. And each family got a $500 gift card so they could bless their family with gifts. And that's because of you, Crossroads. Let's praise God for that. Thank you. Thank you for your generosity. I'd like for you guys to leave here tonight experiencing the wonder of Christmas. If you have a junior high student, they're off to the left. They're actually going to stay in the building. You can come find them after the service is over. But for the rest of us, may you leave here tonight knowing that this message still changes lives, knowing that God gave you a gift that you cannot keep to yourself. May you go out there and share it with the world. May God bless you guys. Have a great night. We'll see you next week.